In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Through the grace of God, we will study tonight chapter 8 from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. In this chapter, St. Paul discusses the connection for the new Christian in the modern church in Judea. And in order to encourage the people at Corinth, he gives them the example of the churches in Macedonia. In spite of the persecution and the affliction they face, and in spite of their troubles, but the churches at Macedonia had eagerness to participate in this service, to provide for the need, and actually they gave with great liberality. And St. Paul sent to them Titus in order to encourage them to collect money for the mother church at Judea. But actually, Titus himself has this zeal to go and participate in this service. And St. Paul, in order to encourage them, give them another example, which is the perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ. How God, although He is the source of all riches, how He emptied Himself and came to our land as a poor person in order to give us from His riches. So he encouraged them with the example of the churches in Macedonia and also with the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul also reminded them with three important principles when you give. The first principle is the willingness. You need to have the will and the desire to give. Number two, God will accept your gift based on what you have, based on your ability, not on what you do not have. Like the widow that paid 2 months, the Lord praised her and said she paid more than the rest of the people. And the third principle, equality. What do I mean by equality? When we get to help the poor, this doesn't mean we will make them at ease, but we suffer. No. But the purpose of giving is that both of us will be equal. So, if today we are in abundance and others are in need, we need to give them. And tomorrow, if we are in need and we are in abundance, they should give us. And in order to do everything honorable, in order not to give reasons to anybody to blame the service and the ministry of St. Paul, St. Paul chose not to take the money by himself, lest somebody falsely accuse him of taking the money to his advantage, or using the money to his advantage. That's why he chose 3 persons, well known, approved by the churches, in order to carry the money to Jerusalem. And St. Paul told to them, when these 3 men come to you, or 3 messengers come to you, receive them with love. So our boasting in you, what we said about you, will not be in vain. This This is the summary of the chapter, and now we'll start reading verse by verse. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. It's clear that the mother church in Jerusalem was in need. And the churches all over the world supported the mother church at Jerusalem. What happened? Actually, two things happened in Jerusalem. Number one, famine had stricken the land. And the second thing, some trouble in the sea led to the Jewish war and resulted in state of destitution and poverty. That's why all the churches felt the responsibility to support the mother church at Jerusalem. And the fact that they are or they were distant from Jerusalem, but distance did not diminish the claims of the suffering brethren for help. They didn't say, we don't care. But no, they actually collected money and sent a messenger to the mother church, although they were living in Asia Minor, or Corinth in Greece, Macedonia, Asia Minor, which is like Turkey right now, or Corinth in Greece, but they felt the responsibility to support the church at Jerusalem. What are the churches of Macedonia that he's speaking about in this chapter, this verse? All the Grecian countries north of Achaia. These were the churches of Macedonia, like Philippi, like Galatia. These are the churches of Macedonia. St. Paul is telling them, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, which means when these churches, when the congregation at these churches were filled by the grace of God, actually they became too generous and they gave with abundance to help the church at Jerusalem. The more you are filled with the grace of God, the more this will appear in your generosity and in your mercy to others. Verse 2. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. St. Paul said to them, I want you to know that the churches at Macedonia were in a great trial of affliction. The word trial of affliction implies persecution, maybe the Jewish persecution against the Christians. But although they went through this great trial of affliction, they did not use it as an excuse for not giving. Many times when we go like in bad economy or in some hardship, we take it as an excuse not to give. But St. Paul is telling us here, the churches at Macedonia, although they were in great trial of affliction, but actually they gave abundantly. And St. Paul actually is explaining to us how the grace of God was working in them. He said two contradicting sentences. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Actually, when we think about deep poverty, it comes to our mind that we should be sad. But St. Paul is saying, the greater was the depth of their poverty, the greater was the abundance of their joy. How come? Because the more the person is in need, he will rely more on God. And when he relies more on God, God will comfort him. That's why he will experience great joy. So, although they were in great trial of affliction, and although they were deeply poor, but because of the grace of God in their life, they were also abundant in their joy. They have excessive joy. And this joy actually helped in giving with liberality, giving with abundance. So the poverty and the joy had the effect not of producing stint or gifts, but of abounding in liberality. They did not become stingy in their gifts, but actually they gave liberally. And St. Paul explained to us how they were able to give with abundance, how they were able to give with generosity. He told us in verse 3, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yea, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing." So, they give not only up to their ability, but they give above and beyond their ability. That's why their generosity and their liberality were so rich. Like, again, the example of the widow. She gave all what she had, the two marks. Like the example of the widow at the third site, when Elijah went to her, and she had a small amount of oil and a little flour. And she told him, "There is a thing, and I will make cake for me and for my son, and we'll eat it, and we will die." But Elijah told her, "Make for me first." And she put him in front of her and her son. And because she put him first, and she gave abundantly, in spite of her poverty, in spite of the great famine that they were going facing at the time, but when she gave with liberality, God actually blessed the oil and the flour in her house until the end of the famine. And St. Paul says very important word. They were freely willing. Freely willing means what? They were willing of themselves, not with urging. Nobody urged them or pushed them or forced them or made them guilty in order to give. But they were freely willing to give. This is actually the word of the grace of God in our hearts. Verse 4, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. Maybe St. Paul told them, "You are in great poverty. You are facing great trial. So keep your money to yourselves." But actually they refused. That's why he said, imploring us with much urgency. They insisted on doing more than the apostle felt that they ought to do. And they insisted to give above and beyond. And as if they said to St. Paul, "Why you want to deprive us from this blessing? This is the fellowship of serving the saints." God said, "Whatever you do with these little children, you do it with me. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink." So as if they were saying to St. Paul, "Why you want to deprive us from this blessing? That's why we implore with him with much urgency that they would receive the gift as the fellowship. That's how they understood the gift, the fellowship of the ministering of the sea. When actually they get as if they are in fellowship with the poor, the sick, and they are taking the blessing of serving and ministering to the saints. Verse 5. And not only as we have hoped, but they first give themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. This is actually the key. The key of their joy, the key of their abundance in giving. That they give themselves first to the Lord. When you give yourself to God, actually you will give all what you have and all what you possess and all what you own to God. You feel that you own nothing. Everything actually is belonging to God. And this actually exceeded the hope of St. Paul for them. Maybe he was all what he hoped or expected from them just to send part of their money to the poor in Jerusalem. But actually they went above and beyond. They give themselves to God. They give themselves to the apostles as the ministers of God, because they know this is the will of God. That's why it says by the will of God. So as obedient to the Lord, they give themselves to God and to St. Paul and the apostles and send their gifts or their money or their contribution abundantly to Jerusalem. So their donation began when they surrendered themselves to God first and to the apostles second as his agent, doing this in obedience to the will of God. Verse 6. So we urge Titus that as he has begun, so he will also complete this grace in you as well. Apparently, Titus, when he went to Corinth, he began the collection of the sick for the saints in Jerusalem. And St. Paul commanded them in the first letter to Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 1. So now, using the example of the Macedonians, St. Paul urged Titus to go in order to complete and to finish this ministry that he started with them, or he began with them, and to complete this ministry before the arrival of St. Paul. But St. Paul actually is called the ministry here the grace. Because as I told you, in order to get, you need to receive the grace of God. The grace of God will help you to be able to get. That's why he said, we urge Titus that as he had begun to start collection for the saints when he was in Corinth, so he would also complete his grace. He will also complete the grace of giving in you as well as the churches in Corinth. So the grace here is the grace of giving. But as, verse 7, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. St. Paul is telling them, you have grown in so many virtues, in so many gifts, and now in order to be complete, you need to grow also and to abound in this gift, the gift of giving, the grace of giving. He told them, you abound in everything, in faith, insist in full confidence in God, in full belief of the truth, in speech, the ability to instruct others. So you are bounded in speech. You are able to teach and instruct others. In knowledge, pure experiential knowledge of God and knowledge of the truth. In diligence. Diligence means the zeal, the readiness in doing every spiritual activity. They are diligent. They are zealous. They are committed to do every spiritual activity and duty with sincerity and faithfulness. And in your love for us, their love to them was manifested by the readiness to obey the commandments and the instruction of St. Paul to them. So St. Paul is telling them, as you abounded in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in diligence, in love to us, now the time is now to abound in this grace, the grace of giving, that you will be complete in everything. As if St. Paul is telling them, the character is not complete without abounding in giving. After St. Paul gives him the example of the church at Macedonia, now he is using the example of our Lord Jesus Christ as our pattern. How the Lord actually gave abundantly. Not only gave us money and what to eat and what to drink, but he gave himself on the cross. He died on the cross for us. So verse 82 to them, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing this sincerity of yours, of your love, by the diligence of others. St. Paul is telling them, I'm not giving you a command. I'm not giving you an order. Because your giving should be free. You should have the willingness to give. But if you get out of guilt, if you get out of compulsion, if you get by force, it's not giving. That's why he told them, I speak not by command. Because I want your giving to be willingly, and thus your giving will be blessed. But actually, I am encouraging you, and I am testing, I am examining the sincerity of your love by giving you the example of the churches in Macedonia. So I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others, by showing to you the diligence of others, by presenting to you the diligence of the churches in Macedonia. Actually, I'm encouraging you, and I am testing and examining your sincerity of love. Love is expressed in giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if your love is sincere, you will be a giving person. That's why he says, I am testing the sincerity of your love. I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the example of others, by the diligence of others, by the example of the Macedonian church. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the law was given by Moses, but the grace and truth by Jesus Christ. So he's saying, you know the grace that God gave us by his incarnation. You know the grace of the incarnation. This great gift that God gave us by his incarnation and his death on the cross. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. God not only is rich, but he is the source of all riches. God emptied himself. God actually descended from heaven and became man. leaving all the glory and all the riches in heaven. So, although he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Why he became poor? To save us, for our sake, to redeem us. That's why he became poor. That you, through his poverty, might become rich. And God did this in order to give us from the heavenly riches. So he became poor in order to make us the poor rich in the heavenly places. So St. Paul is telling them, after I give you the example of the churches in Macedonia, I will use actually now the biggest motive for us to give, which is the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord gave up all things for us. He became poor that we might be rich in heavenly riches. If he gave himself for us, what shall we give for him? If he gave himself for us, what shall we give for him? Verse 10. And in this I give you advice. St. Paul is telling them, I'll not give you an order, I'll not give you a commandment, but I'm giving you an advice. What is this advice? It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete this doing of, or the doing of. His advice, many persons, when they give, they think that they lose. But St. Paul is telling us, no. Actually, when you give, you will be blessed. If we encourage you to give, not because God cannot provide, believe me, God can provide for all the poor in the whole world without none of us getting anything. But why God encouraged us to give in order for us to be blessed? That's why he told them, he told them, I'm giving you advice. It is to your advantage. Think about the widow and Elijah. Wasn't in her advantage to give? Actually, if she refused to give, she would eat the cake with her son and then she would die. But because she gave abundantly, God blessed her, and the oil and the flour did not vanish from her house until, you know, the end of the day. So St. Paul told them, think about it this way. When you get, you do not lose, but actually you receive. It is your advantage. He told them, it is your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, when Titus visited you. The desire is not enough. Maybe they said to Titus, talk to them about giving, and they told him, yes, we are willing to give. But St. Paul told them, no, the willingness and the desire is not enough. You need actually to put it in action. That's why he said to them in verse 11, but now you also must complete the doing of it. You had desire, you were willing. Now you must complete the doing of it. Willingness is not enough. As you will, you have to do. As there was a readiness to will, let there be a performance by giving out what you have. So, you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. As you have the desire to give, and you are ready to give, now actually you need to complete this according to what you have, according to your ability. I told you there are three principles for smoke about women giving. The first principle is the willingness, the desire. So when you give, you need to give by your own willingness, by your own desire, freely, not out of compulsion, not out of embarrassment, not out of guilt, but you give because you want to give. Second, it's according to your ability or above and beyond your ability, as the church at Macedonia did. So here St. Paul told them, now I want you to give and to complete out of what you have. See what you have and give. Verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, if you have this willingness and you have a willing mind, it is accepted, God will accept your giving according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. God is expecting you to give from what you have. He will not ask you to give from what you do not have. Because if you do not have, how can you give? But if you have two minds, give from the two minds. If you have a little oil and a small amount of oil and a small amount of flour, give from what you have. It's accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. So the willing mind has been shown in the readiness to will, which is essential to its acceptance. The readiness, the willingness is essential that God accept my gift. That's the first principle, the readiness, the willingness. The second principle is to give according to your ability. God accepts the gift and measures it according to your means, according to your ability. Verse 13, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burden. St. Paul is saying, I'm not asking you only to give and leave the rest of the church at ease. Actually, if all of us who are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we hear about somebody in need, all of us, we should support and give. So he said, I wish that all churches to give according to what we have. I do not mean to burden you and the other churches to be at ease, or to burden you and the need in Jerusalem will be at ease on your expense. Now he's come to the third principle, which is equality. I told you there are three principles in giving. Willingness, ability, and number three, the equality. That's why he told them, I do not mean to burden you that the saints at Jerusalem may be at ease. Verse 14. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that they may be equality. That's the first principle. He's saying, now there is a lack at Jerusalem. Let your abundance supply. So tomorrow, if you become in want or you are lacking something and they are in abundance, they must supply tomorrow. That there will be equality. That there will be equality. Because the church is a simply loving brethren. If you are in need, I should support you. And if I am in need, you should support me. That's the principle of equality. Verse 15. As it is written, he who gathered much has nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. This verse from Exodus chapter 16, verse 18. So, St. Paul is telling them, as it's written in Exodus, if a person gathered a lot, actually he doesn't have left over, because the extra he gave to the poor. And if I gathered little, I'm not lacking anything, because those who gathered more give me from their extra. So when one lacks, others should supply, that all may be equally provided. So if we have this brotherly love, then there will be distribution of what we have, so that no saint, no believer will be in want, and none will have excess. So nobody will have excess, and nobody will be in want or in need. The last part of this chapter, from verse 16 to 24, St. Paul starts to discuss the practical ways of sending their contribution or their gift to Jerusalem. Verse 16, but thanks be to God, who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. St. Paul is emphasizing that everything is the work of God in our heart. So God put the care in the heart of Titus. And Titus talked to them about their contribution to Jerusalem. That's why, if it is God who put this care in the heart of Titus, then actually we should give thanks to whom? To God. That's why he said, thanks be to God who puts this, who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. As if when Titus encouraged them to give, actually he cared about them. Why? Because it is to their advantage to give. Titus was ready now to return to Corinth, carrying this second letter to go back to Corinth, and help in this ministry to collect the money for the seed. And St. Paul says, this was because of the grace of God, because God put this earnest care in the heart of Titus. Verse 15. For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. St. Paul is saying then, Titus is coming to you not because I commanded him, not because I asked him to do this, but actually from himself, according to his accord, he was going to go to you. It was his desire. So not only in giving it has to be our desire, but actually in serving, when we serve, we should not serve because of, again, compulsion or guilt or embarrassment, but we should serve out of our desire, because we have the readiness and the willingness to serve. So not only Titus readily accepted the work that St. Paul suggested to him, but also out of his own accord, he went to them. He went to them for the collection for the same. He desired to do this, and he chose to do this. Verse 16. And he had sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the church. St. Paul did not mention the name of his brother, but actually most of the scholars, they said this brother is St. Luke. So St. Paul actually in this verse is speaking about St. Luke, and he said, we sent with Titus another person, who actually sent three messengers. So Titus number one, Luke number two, and he said about St. Luke, whose praise is through all the churches, because of his labor in the gospel. Maybe because he wrote the gospel of St. Luke, he was writing the book of Acts, and also because he participated in preaching the gospel of salvation. So he said, we did not send the disciples only, but we sent with him Luke, whose praise is in the gospel, is in the preaching of the gospel. His praise because he preached the gospel throughout all the churches. In dealing with Mark, usually it's better not one person to deal with Mark. Even if he is so faithful, but if one person deals with money, he may give opportunity for people to falsely accuse him. So even with Titus, Paul, Luke, and Apollos, as we know, as we are going to say, actually he did not send Titus by himself, but he sent three persons. And that's why usually in the churches we emphasize that, you know, all the checks should be signed by two persons. The collection of donation should be at least two persons or three persons, not only one person collect the money by himself. This is a biblical principle from the teaching of St. Paul. As he said, we want to be in honor before God and before men. We don't want anybody to falsely accuse us or question our integrity and our faithfulness. Verse 19, and not only that, his praise is throughout all the churches. He says, speaking about St. Luke, but who was also chosen by the churches. So the churches at Macedonia chose St. Luke to travel with us with the gifts. So they entrusted St. Luke with their contribution and to travel with us with this gift to send it to Jerusalem, which is administrated by us. We are the one who is administrating, coordinating the collection of the money to be sent to Jerusalem. But why we are doing this? To the glory of the Lord. So actually the main goal is not only to provide for the need, but we are doing it for God to be glorified. Everything we do, we should be doing it for the glory of the Lord. That's why, if in the process of helping the needy, you do not glorify God, it is not right. I heard about an organization here. In order to collect money for the poor, they invited actors from Egypt and they do live auction on their jewelry. So this is again glorifying God. But when actually we collect, we have to do it for the glory of the Lord. For the glory of the Lord. And not only that, but who was also chosen by the church. St. Luke was chosen by the church at Macedonia to travel with us with this gift, which is administrated. We are organized, administrated by us to the glory of the Lord Himself. We did not lose our focus. Our focus while we are collecting the money, we are glorifying God. So we are careful how we administer. We are careful in every step how we collect this money. And to show your ready mind. And we want actually to show your readiness to others. To show that you have the zeal and the desire and the willingness to help your brethren at Jerusalem. So St. Luke was appointed by the churches of Macedonia to carry the gift from Macedonia to Jerusalem. And another purpose why he sent St. Luke, in order to stir up your ready mind, to make your ready mind known and manifest to others, to make them know how readily and freely you came into this service. Verse 20. Avoiding this. We are very careful to be the glory of God. So we avoided something. What did we avoid? We avoided this. That anyone should blame us in this lavish gift, which is administrated by us. We were very careful not to give reason to anybody to blame us, not to give reason to anybody to say we used this money to our advantage or we took part of the money to ourselves. That's why I didn't deal with the money. I sent the three brethren, Titus, Luke, and the third brother, Apollos. And actually, I didn't send one person, I sent three of them, because they had a lot of money collected. So he didn't want anybody to speak negatively or to question their faith. Listen, some person might charge us that St. Paul used the gift for his own advantage. So the messenger, these three persons, will report how funds were used. So he sent three persons. Verse 21. And why you are avoiding this? Why you are avoiding any false accusation? St. Paul explains, verse 21, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Because you are leaders in the church. I cannot say, you know, I'm faithful. Let the people say whatever they want to say. No, I cannot do this. Because I'm a leader. And my mistake actually will offend many people. That's why I should be very, very careful lest I offend somebody. That's why St. Paul said, we want to provide honorable things. We want to provide honorable image. Not only in the sight of God, because God searches our hearts and our kidneys. God knows exactly who we are, but we also want to provide honorable things before in the sight of men. Taking care to act so as not only to be clear in the sight of God, but also to be clear in the sight of all men, avoiding even the appearance of evil. Avoiding evil, because if St. Paul took the money by himself, maybe somebody will say he took this money for himself. So he was totally careful not to give any reason for anybody to question his integrity. Verse 22. And we have sent with them, with Luke and with Titus, our brother, this is the third one, Apollos, who we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent because of the great confidence which we have in you. St. Paul says the third person is Apollos. And why we choose him? He did not mention his name, but again, the scholars and the commentators of the scripture said that this person most probably was Apollos. And he said, Apollos, why you chose him? Because he was very, very diligent. He was very diligent in many things. But now when Apollos knew your confidence in us and how much you love us and how much you obey our commandments, he became more diligent than you are. He became more diligent and committed to this service more than what he was. As if St. Paul is telling them, when Apollos found that I have the fullest confidence in your love to me, he engages in this service with enthusiasm, with diligence, and exceeds even his former diligence. He became more diligent than before. Verse 23. If anyone inquired about Titus, if anyone asked about Titus, who is he? He is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. If anyone, now he is giving like recommendation letter. If anyone asks who is Titus, he is my companion. He is my fellow laborer. He is working for you. He is serving you. And Titus was a disciple of St. Paul. But see, he is the humble St. Paul. He said, he is my companion. Or, if our brethren are inquired about, our brethren Luke and Apollos, if somebody asks for question, who are Luke and Apollos? They are messengers of the churches. We are apostles, messengers means apostles, apostles of the church, the glory of Christ. We are actually doing this service that Christ may be glorified. What a wonderful testimony about Titus, Luke, and Apollos. Who are these brethren? They are the apostles of churches promoting the glory of Christ. St. Paul concluded by saying in verse 24, therefore, show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Since these are the delegates of the church, since these are the apostles and the messengers of Christ, receive them warmly, receive them with love, show to them and show before other churches, like the churches of Macedonia showed you. Now your turn to show to other churches your love toward us. This will be the proof of your love toward us. Get proof of your love. And show that when we have boasted of your excellencies, that our boasting was not a lie. Our boasting was not in vain. Which, if happened, that our boasting is in vain, will be or will have a negative reputation of these churches in Corinth and of me, myself, St. Paul. So St. Paul told them, now, knowing that these are the apostles and the messengers of Christ, promoting the glory of God, receive them warmly and show them the evidence, the proof of your love to God, to the poor, to me, and also show them that our boasting in you, what we said about you, was true, was not a lie.